Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. 2 years into the pandemic, and we don't hear much about the impact on housing anymore. Rent and mortgages, you know, as we did during the first and second year. But it remains an issue. And it could get worse, even as the specter of inflation continues to plague our economy. But there is help for those who fear losing their homes because of pandemic problems. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is offering resources. And joining me to talk about that is Per Olstad, Senior Advisor for Consumer Education for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. If you have a comment or a question, and I'm sure you will, we have some great information coming for you tonight, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Mr. Olstad, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you, Harold. Really appreciate you having me on the show.
So before we even get into some of the resources, let's talk just a little bit about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, because some people, when they hear the name, they may say, you know, that sounds familiar because you've been in the news, you know, off and on for more than 10 years now. Kind of give me the cliff notes of the Bureau.
Yeah, sure. So the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, was created following the housing crisis of 2008. And the sort of founding principle behind the CFPB was to provide a single part of the federal government with accountability for enforcing federal consumer financial protection laws and protecting consumers from harms in the financial marketplace. So my agency is responsible for really for sort of monitoring the markets and helping consumers deal with a range of challenges from unfair or deceptive practices to just providing basic resources to help people navigate things like credit cards, housing, credit reports, the range of consumer financial products that people deal with these days to manage their lives.
Because I remember back during the Obama administration, one of the big issues had to do with credit cards and credit card companies. Those were some of the big headlines. And then, you know, during the Trump administration, the teeth were kind of taken out of it. But you know, some would say now, under this new administration, you've been given a little more muscle.
Yeah, I think our new director, Director Rohit Chopra, he's been very clear that the CFPB is going to be here to enforce the federal laws to make sure that the marketplace functions fairly and really does benefit consumers. So I think you're likely to see a CFPB that's ready to sort of fully own the mantle of being there on the side of consumers to help enforce the law.
So let's talk a little bit about the home issue, the housing issue. From the Bureau's perspective, why are you jumping into this space of protecting homes, whether you're talking about the rental space or homeowner space as a result of the pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, the short answer is because we know people are hurting. You know, there are still millions of families that are really struggling on various issues with housing insecurity, who can't make payments on rent or their mortgage or utilities or, you know, the range of other fees that come into play when you're talking about housing. So with that many people housing, and to be clear, we're talking about 7.5 million families across the country who report that they're at risk of eviction or foreclosure, and it's particularly true among many of the more traditionally underserved consumers. So, you know, Black and Hispanic families in particular are almost twice as likely to report being behind on their payments than white families. So the Bureau is doing everything it can in this area because it matters, because housing is fundamental to people's lives. So we're trying to make sure that people can connect to the range of resources that are out there to help. That's a key message here, is that there is help out there. but it's important that people act in order to get it. So we're really, what we're trying to do is help connect people to the resources that are available in their communities to help avoid eviction, avoid foreclosure, and all the harms that can cause.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about protecting your home, whether you're a homeowner or whether you're a renter, from any pandemic problems that may threaten you with eviction or the loss of your home. We are talking with Per Olstad. He is a senior advisor for consumer education with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They have resources to help you stay in your home if you are threatened by issues regarding the pandemic. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So let us first talk about how this works. Give me the rundown, Mr. Olstad.
Sure. So for renters and homeowners, there's sort of different options, different protections in place. But ultimately, the main message I want to drive home here is anyone who's struggling, whether you're a homeowner or a renter, or honestly, even small mom-and-pop landlords, we know many of them are suffering too. There's resources available to you. Go to consumerfinance.gov/housing. More information, consumerfinance.gov/housing. If you're a renter and you're struggling, there was a massive federal program put in place called the Emergency Rental Assistance Program that's providing assistance with rent and utilities everywhere in the country. You can find programs in your area. I know you get a lot of listeners in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. There's programs in each of those places that can help you. Unfortunately, the state EDC program is no longer accepting applications, but there are other resources available. So it's important to go to the website and find out. But if the key thing is you got to take action. These resources won't come unless you start. So go to consumerfinance.gov/housing as a starting point. Same thing for homeowners. If you are struggling to pay your mortgage, struggling to pay your utilities, tomorrow morning we'll be launching a whole new set of information for homeowners. But go to consumerfinance.gov and you can find information about how to talk to your mortgage servicer, how to get forbearance, how to access the new federal program that's launched to provide assistance for homeowners. That you just really gotta start by taking action, understanding your options. Go to consumerfinance.gov/housing.
I want to ask what you will find when you get to those websites, but we got a lot of folks who just started blowing up the lines as soon as I put out the phone number. So you've become quite popular all of a sudden. So let me see what our listeners have to say. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. D, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? D, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
Yes. Well, I was calling about rental assistance. I know you're talking a lot about housing, but I know that they no longer have the DC Stay program anymore. So what kind of assistance would be available for someone who's renting?
Yeah, so if you're a renter in the DC area, you can go to the Stay DC website, and they do have some other options that may be available to you. But honestly, one of the things you could do is contact a HUD-certified housing counselor. The HUD-certified housing counselors I can't overstate the value they offer. They're intimately familiar with every option in your area. You can find a counselor in your area by going to our website, consumerfinance.gov/housing. There's a bunch of links there and a search tool to help you find a housing counselor in your area. It's D.C. is one of the many places where there have been so many applications for funding from the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. I think they're not accepting new applications right now, but there are other ways that you can get help. But you really got to talk to a local expert. So that's where I would start, is talk to a HUD-certified housing counselor.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Dee, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sandra calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Sandra. What's on your mind?
I'm just reaching out to find out what resources are available for individuals who do not have a home. I've been living in a hotel for 7 months, and I haven't been able to get up on my feet. And I'm a caretaker for two individuals who have disabilities, an adult and a teenager. So what resources are available? And I live in Maryland that I could reach out to get some help to find a home I could afford.
Yeah, of course. Well, of course. And it's a horrible situation to be in, and the stress you must be dealing with is unimaginable. But I still honestly would start with contacting the Maryland Emergency Rental Assistance Program. Now, the way the programs have been structured, many of the programs are set up to try to provide help for people who don't currently have housing but are trying to get it. So I think I would still recommend that you start there. There are a range of other services at a local level that provide services for people who are not currently in a home. But if really what you want to get to is you want to get a home, you want to be in a new apartment or something, I would start with the Maryland Rental Assistance Program. You can find that program again. If you just Google Maryland Rental Assistance, you'll find it. But you can also go to our website, and there's a search tool there, consumerfinance.gov/housing.
So you said, is it Maryland Emergency Rental Assistance?
So if you Googled Maryland Rental Assistance, you'll come to their page. But probably the easiest thing to do is just go to our website. There's a search tool there that will take you right to it. But pretty much every state has its own, not pretty much all states have their own rental assistance programs. And many of the programs are set up to help provide people who are not currently in a home but trying to get one some resources to help out.
And that in your website, again, consumerfinance.gov, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Always, this information will be provided on our website on whur.com after 8:30 tonight, as well as the entire podcast in its entirety. So if you don't get the information during the broadcast after 8:30, all you have to do is go to whur.com, and the CFPB a website will be there as well. So all of the information will be there. So don't worry, particularly if you're driving or what have you, that information will be on our website on whur.com after 8:30. Sandra, thank you so much for giving us a call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're on the lines, please just hang on. I promise we will get to your phone calls. There's some other information that I want to get out before we go to the break in a few minutes or so. One of the things that I mentioned, for example, was if someone is in an apartment and perhaps because of some of the pandemic issues, they've lost their job, or they fear that, or they have noticed that they're going to lose their job because of some of the pandemic issues, what do they do when they go to your website? What should they look for? What kind of help or what kind of resources are there?
You know, there's a range of resources. We've really tried to sort of think through the various types of things people are going to run into, whether you're a homeowner or a renter. So there's the key information around how to access the various kind of rental or homeowner assistance funds to actually get financial help to pay your housing payments. But there's also information around, you know, for renters, how to talk to your landlord about getting, you know, trying to negotiate some sort of a payment agreement where you're making partial rent payments for some period of time. Or if you're a homeowner, how to talk to your mortgage servicer to understand what options you might have, sometimes under federal law. So really, it's meant as sort of a one-stop shop, combining the best information from all of the federal government, not just my agency, to help people navigate the range of things they're going to encounter. So could be information about how to contact an attorney if you're really in sort of dire straits, information about what options are available on your mortgage, information for landlords, again, so if you've lost your housing altogether, next steps you can take there. It's really meant as sort of a place you can go for any sort of help you might need navigating housing security.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Thomas calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you very much for having this program. I greatly appreciate it. I am a low-income housing tax credit property manager in D.C., and my colleagues and I assisted hundreds upon hundreds of applicants for the State EC program. My question, great, if you might know, many got approval letters but never received the funding, and I'm still receiving phone calls questioning because the phones were cut off and they're just not getting any feedback. About the what the approval letter said. They were approved for funds, but they never got the check.
So do you know, in that situation, were the checks sent directly to the landlord? Because most of the programs are set up so the funding won't go back to the tenant, they'll go to the landlord.
Most of them did get the checks and honestly came down to turn them in, but there were several whom they say they sent checks to the landlord. They were never received, and it's still held accountable toward the resident because the ledgers are escalated.
Yeah.
So, and there's no communication with State EC about that.
Yeah. You know, I unfortunately, I do think that's really an issue that has to be taken to the local program.
They're not available.
Our role is to sort of get the money out to the programs and provide information to help people find them, but the actual program administration is really happening at a local level.
I see. So what you're saying...
Not a very helpful answer.
So what you're saying, Mr. Olstead, is that your agency is kind of a conduit or helps kind of facilitate these issues to the lower level, since you are, of course, the federal government.
Yeah, and the programs that are administered by State EC or in Maryland, Virginia, a lot of the details about how the programs run are really set at the local level. So if there are issues around the way the program is sort of rolling out in a given area, a lot of the questions and whatnot do really need to be addressed to the local program.
I see. Ms. Thomas, thank you so much for reaching out to us. We would like to, you know, keep in mind or keep in touch with you about that. Please keep us abreast of what's happening there. I would be curious as to see how that turns out. I need to take a break. When we come back, more of this issue regarding the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, renting, mortgage, and saving your home, dealing with these pandemic problems. I'm going to take a break. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next. I'm Harold Fisher. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Stay with me. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. My guest is Per Olstead. He is Senior Advisor for Consumer Education for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. We are talking about saving your home, whether you're renting or are a home owner, but are under threat because of issues concerning the pandemic. The CFPB, as it is known, has resources for you that may help you with some of the financial issues caused by the pandemic. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I get back to the questions for Mr. Olstead, let me go back to the phone lines. Renee, calling from Suitland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I live at Windsor Crossing, and I'm wondering when are they going to... I did the application for rental assistance, and they said that they are going... My application has been accepted, but I got an email, and I'm wondering, can they evict you? Because we're still staying here. This is at a state. We're at a standstill, and we don't know what to do in regards to the financial payment. Will they give the money to the landlord? The home, you know, I'm just confused. When is this finally going to...
I mean, it's a confusing situation for sure. So you got an email saying that you've been approved for the rental assistance program?
Yes. I got an email saying I really approved, and then I called to the housing counseling people, and they sent me another email saying that, yes, I was approved, but it's at a standstill.
So and you haven't heard anything from your landlord saying that they'd received the payment?
They haven't received payment yet.
Okay.
So can they evict me?
I'm sorry, I lost you there.
She was asking, can she, while she's waiting, can she be evicted?
Well, you know, an awful lot depends on how things are set up in your community and operating at the federal level. I can't claim to know exactly how it works in your community, but I do think talking to a housing counselor is the right move because they're the ones who are going to know everything about how it plays out in your area. So if you're talking to a HUD-certified housing counselor, they'll be able to give you the best local advice about what to do in your situation. If you have an application pending, I mean, you've been approved and your landlord knows you've been approved, do you have a good communication line with your landlord? Do you feel like your landlord is...
No, I don't think
it's
communication. I've been calling them and talking to them. And I'm just at a standstill. I just got over COVID, and I went back to work just recently. So I'm going to start paying my rent forward now. But what about this back rent?
Well, you did the right thing. The rental assistance program is meant to cover exactly that, cover all that back rent. So I would say the most important thing you can do, talk to the housing counselor. Don't go alone. You're not alone. There's help there. So
that's all I keep hearing. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm going to get off the line.
Okay. Renee, thank you so much. I do have a question because I'm curious about the process. So if people like Renee, if the first step, I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you talk to a housing counselor and you make application for assistance. Is that correct?
I mean, honestly, I'd say that'd be the ideal scenario, that people talk to a housing counselor because the housing counselor can sort of act as a guide all the way through the process. But a lot of people are submitting applications directly to their state or local program through a website, and that's fine. I mean, that's probably always it has to get there eventually, so it's fine to do that. But I always encourage people to follow up with a housing counselor. That's where they start. Because the housing counselors they're like a navigator to help you figure out the path forward. Once you've submitted the application, you know, the programs all function differently depending on where you live. Sometimes the turnarounds are pretty quick, and sometimes it takes longer. Once you've been approved, typically the payment's going to go to the landlord, not to the tenant.
Right. Yeah, well, that certainly makes sense.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm asking is, if they were to go to the site, if someone is in danger of eviction or fears that may be a concern, does the site, consumerfinance.gov, does the site direct you to resources in your community that may offer funds, or does the site direct you to federal government funds?
It takes you to the state and local level programs. Most of those state and local programs are funded by the federal government, but it takes you to the state and local program. The way the whole process works is that the money was appropriated from Congress. Treasury did grants out to all the there's hundreds of state and local programs, so that the programs are then really administering it. So it's federal money, but it's administered at a local level. What our website does is help you find the programs in your area. So you start by just sort of, there's a tool on the site, you type in your state and type in your county, and then you'll see the programs that are available in your area.
Let's see. Let's talk about, we've been talking a lot about the renting process. Let's talk about homeowners, mortgages, and the like. You mentioned forbearance. Explain how that works.
Sure. So forbearance has been an option, you know, for a long time, but it always came with a lot of strings attached. So what happened with the pandemic, starting with the CARES Act back in 2020, there was sort of a streamlined process for forbearance that was set up to allow people to get forbearance quickly and easily just by calling their mortgage servicer. And importantly, it also, the federal agencies that administer all the, or sort of behind all the loans, made clear that at the end of forbearance, which allows people to essentially pause their mortgage payments for some period of time, the mortgage servicer can't require that you pay it back all at once. So, you know, it's great to be able to pause your mortgage payments if you need to, but who wants to deal with a 7-month mortgage bill at the end of it? So what the particular program set up through the pandemic allow is to take a forbearance that gives you a breather, allows you to catch up and, you know, get back on track, and then start the process of engaging a mortgage servicer to resume payments and under whatever options are available at the time, but not have to face, you know, what could easily be a tens of thousands of dollar bill. So the forbearance option is really sort of the, if someone is really struggling and they haven't already taken it, that's the best starting point. Give yourself a breathing room, and then you can figure out the next steps from there.
So what, so when you go to the site, how does that work for your mortgage servicer? Again, does the site, does it have you deal with someone who can help you through that process? Or exactly how does that work as it relates to dealing with your mortgage servicer?
Yeah, so the site provides a lot of information that you can just sort of better understand what you're getting into. But ultimately, you're a homeowner, you gotta talk to your mortgage servicer. And I know for a lot of folks, it's not a comfortable prospect. But it sort of has to happen. Now, if you're really not comfortable doing that, I definitely, again, encourage you to contact a HUD-certified housing counselor, because they can be there as a partner with you to talk to your servicer about the options. What the site does is sort of prepare you for that conversation, help you understand the options that might be available for your situation. And then you really do need to, and help you figure out how to take the next step of contacting the servicer and understanding the options that are available. Almost all homeowners do have some options, but you got to start by contacting the mortgage servicer. Mm. The mortgage servicer is just the company that sends you your bill every month.
Yeah. What should people be watching out right now as it relates to, for example, you know, scammers and the like, and what role and what kind of protection does the CFPB offer?
Yeah, you know, this is one of those situations. Anytime there's a new federal program, you can always expect scams, and the scammers are out in force. So, you know, you do got to be careful. You know, watch out for anything that's not coming from a .gov. Watch out for anyone who's asking you to pay money up front. These services are free. HUD Housing Counseling is free. The rental assistance programs and the Homeowner Assistance Fund, they are free programs to apply. You do not need to pay someone to help you do that. You know, this is also true for all of the utility services that are out there. There's a range of options to help cover utilities as well. Again, those are all free. Scammers are going to try to tell you to give them money to help you manage it, but you don't need to do that. So just watch out for those sort of things. And you can find information about scams on our housing portal on the website, too. Again, consumerfinance.gov/housing.
Well, let's drill down a little bit more about that, because one of the things that we have seen over the past 2 years are so many reports of scams. What have you seen, and what are you specifically able to tell us about the kinds of scams that you've been privy to?
Yeah, and there's been a number, and they're pretty various. You get scammers who will, you know, use our logo or other federal agencies' logo to try and make it seem like they're legitimate, but they're not. And so you gotta pay close attention. And, you know, the safest thing to do if you get an email communication that says it's from the federal government or from, you know, the CFPB or HUD or whatever, go to the don't click on the links there. Go to the website. Go to the website from that agency and look at the look for the information there. Don't just rely on what could be a phishing scam or some other sort of attempt to get money out of you when you're struggling most.
And how do you know? Because one of the things, even with someone with a good eye, may be fooled. So how do you know that a document that you may receive via email isn't the real thing? And I'll give you here's a prime example. Last couple of months ago, my father, who is in his 80s, received a letter because he's not particularly computer savvy. He received a letter having to do with his water bill saying that from the office of the public defender. And of course, the first thing he did was call me about it, saying that he was going to be charged more, almost $500. And of course, he didn't have the letter. And so he ended up going through a great deal of stress and trying to figure out why this was, because it had an official looking seal, so he said, and it took months for me to, you know, to figure out, you know, based on context and conversation and looking at his bank account and the like, to realize that it was an official looking scam.
Yep.
So how, you know, what can you recommend? What can you suggest for those, you know, for those people who may not have the, you know, the wonderful intelligence of a son like mine?
Well, first of all, everyone should start there. But it is a big challenge and one we wrestle with all the time, because the scammers are, you know, they're sophisticated and they don't have morals, so they're going to do whatever they can, and it can be really hard. They many of them do really, you know, polished, well-designed scams, and it's hard to, you know, compare side by side the logo of what they put out there and ours, and be hard to tell the difference. I think the most important thing you do is don't rely on whatever the communication they gave you was, and do your own research into it. Now, that usually is just going to mean trying to put, so if it says it's from a federal agency, you know, at a local level or a state level, all of those federal, state, local level government agencies are going to have a website, and you can go to that website. And a big clue on a scam is if it ends in a .com, but says it's from the government, it's probably not.
No.
So look for things that go to a .gov website, and you can be at least a little more sure that it's going to be a legitimate resource backed by the government, by some level of government. And also just sort of, you know, this gets tricky where, for the really sophisticated scams, but a lot of the scams are not that sophisticated, and if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true.
Okay. I need to take a break. When we come back, more from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation with Per Olstad, Senior Advisor for Consumer Education for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Mr. Olstad, if you have a complaint against your mortgage company, should someone call the CFPB, and or does that depend on what the complaint is? Let us assume, for example, that you have been pristine in your mortgage payments, but you are having some other kind of difficulty with the company. What what help might the CFPB offer?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a complaint function at the CFPB. So, and if you are struggling with any issue with your mortgage servicer, you can either go online to submit a complaint at consumerfinance.gov/complaint, or you can call our toll-free number, which is 855-411-2372. Again, it's 855-411-2372. But if you're having any issue with your mortgage servicer, we definitely encourage you to file a complaint with us. What happens when you file a complaint with us is that we route the complaint to your servicer. I think it's the best way to make sure that you get a response from the company, and it helps us understand what's happening out there to all of you, so we get a sense of where we need to focus our efforts. Mm.
So how are those things addressed? Does the CFPB deal directly with the party in question? If I had a complaint, would I receive a call from someone from the CFPB? How might that work?
Well, typically what's going to happen is you submit a complaint and then the company is obligated to respond. And so when you submit a complaint with us, we route it to the company for their response. If the company response isn't satisfactory, then you can follow back up with us. So the system is an automated system at the start, but as things, if the response from the company doesn't make sense or it's not adequate, then you can follow back up to press for more assistance through our system.
How much muscle does the Bureau have now? As I mentioned in the beginning of the program, there was a lot of reporting that the previous administration had really taken the teeth out of the organization and had, if I may, had made it fairly, you know, impotent for 4 years, and to the point where some would have argued maybe not, you know, not to bother, and it was not what it was at its inception. How has that changed?
Well, I think the Bureau has just a range of tools to at its disposal to make sure that consumers are being treated fairly in the marketplace. And I can assure you that we are ready to do so with the full extent of our authorities. Our director, Dr. Chopra, has been very clear on that front. So I think people can feel confident that if they're going to submit a complaint with us or raise issues that they're seeing with us, we're going to take it seriously, and we're going to use the full extent of our tools. And I think we do have a significant range of tools. And I think that the consumer, the industry actors and the players in the marketplace know that, and know that we are going to be watching and make sure that the law is being abided by.
One of the things that we did see during the course of last year, and you did mention this, let's take Washington, D.C., for example, is that the program that the mayor, Muriel Bowser, was constantly talking about during the latter part of last year was sign up for this program. We have the funds. And we do know that approximately a year or so ago, when D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton was also, you know, shouting at the top of her lungs that the federal government needed to get this funding so that we could keep people in their homes. And certainly they were talking more about renting, but, you know, for the sake of argument, just getting people to stay in their homes. And during the latter part of the year, the resources were threatening to go away. The mayor said as much. And then eventually, as you mentioned, they did go away at the end of the year. And so for those people who now in 2022 are concerned, and this isn't a District of Columbia issue, this could be anywhere in the country, where resources that were there last year that are no longer there, what other choices, what other help might there be?
Yeah, and, you know, it's I'm not going to lie, it's not a great situation. I mean, we knew from the outset that the even though it was a huge investment from the federal government, $46 billion put into the emergency rental assistance programs across the country, there's more demand for that assistance than $46.5 billion. And the money was going to run out, and people are still going to be struggling. I'm going to sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but honestly, the most important thing you can do, a lot of the HUD-certified housing counselors are providing assistance, counseling assistance for renters, who, and they're going to be the best source of information for you about resources in your community. The Federal Emergency Rental Assistance Program is a huge deal in the sort of rental marketplace, but there are other options too, and the HUD counselors really can help you find those options. We know both at a sort of big picture or macro level how much impact they have, but there's countless success stories of individual homeowners or renters contacting their housing counselor, a counselor helping them negotiate a partial payment plan or some sort of agreement with their landlord or their mortgage servicer to stay in their home and kind of find a solution that's going to help them for their particular challenges.
What's going to happen tomorrow? You mentioned about the launch tomorrow.
Yeah, we're providing a whole new range of, for homeowners specifically who are struggling, there's going to be a whole new set of information provided on our website to help people understand the new programs that are coming online for homeowner assistance, not rental assistance, in every state across the country and all in the district and territories. There's a range of programs for tribes and tribal members as well. But the new set of information is those programs are starting to come online. We'll be launching tomorrow. Not all states, all parts of the country, the programs aren't all up yet. D.C. in particular is still in a pilot phase, but we'll be going broadly public soon. But you can go to the local websites, and many of them have, a sign-up feature where you can, give your email for more information about when they do start taking applications, even if they're not taking applications tomorrow. But the information coming up tomorrow is really aimed at homeowners who are struggling to help them access this new federal program that's coming online.
And that will be, it will be online tomorrow morning. What time? So, because I'm sure the people will be standing by, probably trying to get tickets to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, probably not quite that popular. I wish we were that popular. Probably later in the morning. Usually our sort of new publications go up by noon.
Okay, around noon. Per Olstad, Senior Advisor for Consumer Education with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck, and hopefully the information that you've been able to share with us this evening can help a lot of people. I appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you so much, Harold.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, February 10th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.